Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show with Dad's Point of View. Bruce Salen, and you can find me on Twitter at Bruce Salen, and you can always email me at bruce@brucesalen.com and visit brucesalen.com, my website, and all kinds of goodies. It is time for some therapy talk with Dr. Jennifer Weberman, who's a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience helping children, teens, and parents. She is now about to become a parent herself, so she's going through some of her own epiphanies, which is the topic of this week's show. She shares everything she's learned as a psychologist and parent coach and soon to be parent on her blog, theparentingplayground.com. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Jennifer.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, let's get an update, a health and welfare update on baby Bruce.
Baby Bruce. Oh my goodness. Can you imagine if my daughter had that name? She's doing phenomenal. We just had a doctor's visit last weekend and she's growing bigger and stronger and everything looks good. And it's amazing. You know, as the weeks go on, I can always feel her move, but the movements feel more like knees and elbows and fists and feet rather than just sort of little flutters and flickers inside. It's, mm-hmm. There's no words for it. It's indescribable.
So I really envy you having that experience, by the way. It's the one part of being a woman I've always envied. There's not much else that I've envied. I think it's a lot of gunk that women have to deal with. But having a baby, I think, would be just incredible. I think today it's such interesting. I'm looking at the life change epiphany, as it were, of being in the empty nest. And you're looking at the life change or epiphany of starting the nest. So I would love to hear your thoughts, because I know you've already prepared on the empty nest idea, and then transition into your own thoughts and hopes and wishes and expectations of how your life will be changed.
Bruce, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was thinking the exact same thing about this topic, about how I'm at the beginning of the parenting journey, and I'm about to find out what it feels like to shift my focus from myself and my own life to the life of this child, and that you're at this very different stage of parenting, and you're experiencing the gradual shift away from raising kids, because you're always going to have kids, but the shift of raising kids towards focusing on whatever is next for you. Mm-hmm. And it just got me wondering, you know, as someone who hasn't lived it yet, looking ahead to that empty nest syndrome, I was really curious, what makes that transition so painful and scary for some people and such an opportunity for adventure and growth and change for others? Because that's really what you were talking about in your blog, is, you know, what's going to be possible for you now because of this shift. Mm-hmm. And so I started doing my research, and I didn't want to read just like the dry kind of empirical stuff. I really wanted to read people's blogs, you know, parenting blogs, about what the experience was like for them and what it felt like. And there definitely seemed to be a pattern of some factors that made it a different experience for the people who struggled versus the people who saw it as an opportunity. And so that's what I was going to share today.
Please, go ahead.
It seems like if for the people who have or had problems in their marriage that they had been putting on the back burner so they could focus on the kids, certain things that they had been ignoring, or people who just knew that they were in unhappy marriages, but they stayed together for the sake of the children. And then when the children left the house and it was just mom and dad left with each other, I think those people commonly had a really rough time, because now you're forced to face something that you've been able to sort of dodge for a really long time. It also seemed like single parents were having a harder time with being an empty nester, because literally, it's just you in the house. This one dad was describing about how the house was filled with music and footsteps and conversations, and now he can hear the hum of his refrigerator and the sound of the wind blowing outside, and it was just such a depressing experience for him because there was nobody else in the house to share his life with. So it made me feel very empathic.
I get all of that. You know, one of the things I want to just interrupt you, We're talking about our respective life changes, which is the beginning and the end of this, the whole parenting cycle. Mine at the end of it, as far as the kids in the home, and you at the beginning of it. And you said how you expect such changes and how much your focus is going to shift. And I know you know what I'm going to say, but I just want to remind you, do not drop the ball as far as the romance with your husband, nor should he drop the ball in the romance with you. Because at the end of the day, you're going to have many, many, many more years, God willing, with Jason than you are in your home with your children. So to slack in the romance department, I think, is one of the biggest failings that parents do.
Oh, absolutely. And it's so hard for so many families when they know that they're starting to slack in that department, they know that they're starting to neglect the romance, to make it a priority when it seems like the children's needs are so all-consuming. And that balance is so important.
Key word you just said, it seems. We tend to project. Yes. They don't. They'll be fine with a babysitter if mom and dad go out once a week. You know, I mean, some parents just get so obsessed about every minute of every moment has to be taking care of their darling. And they're not taking care of their own relationship and themselves if they do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like you said, the time after, I mean, your kids are going to leave the house, hopefully around the age of 18. And then you have decades left with your partner.
Yeah, you absolutely do. If you actually think in terms of most parents now have no more than one or two kids. So that means their parenting journey, if they have the kids within a couple, 3 years of each other, is no more than about 20, 22 years. And given the average life expectancy now is well into the 80s and 90s, you're talking about less than a quarter of your life is with parents at home. And you have the potential of being married for 50 or 60 years. So to neglect your marriage during those crucial 20 years and then come back and look at each other and go, is just
who are you?
Yeah.
And you know what? Even if that has happened, that doesn't mean that after the children leave the house that that needs to be a negative thing. It's still an opportunity to say, I want to get to know you all over again. I want to work on rekindling this relationship. Or if it's really dead in the water and you just don't love each other in that way anymore, then it's an opportunity to find somebody new because you don't need to worry about the impact of the children in the house anymore. You have the freedom to move on and start something fresh.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, the other thing that you mentioned that you came across in the blogs were those marriages where they stayed together for the sake of the kids. I always believe that that's a questionable choice, but it depends. If the marriage is tolerable and decent and there isn't any kind of big abuse going on, but maybe you're just not fully fulfilled, I think that's the noble thing to do. If the marriage is highly dysfunctional and there's visible and obvious signs of it, then the kids are worse off seeing two people that are miserable together than being raised by two separated, divorced people. So it all depends.
Absolutely.
Yes. So just for the sake of it, at this point, are there any really big things that you're like scared about and or big things you're excited about? I mean, give me one of each that come to you as far as what it's going to be like when baby Bruce is born.
You know, I definitely have a lot of fear and anxiety about the delivery and, you know, what that's going to be like. But looking at child rearing, I definitely have some anxiety about, I think I'm going to be worried about safety issues because I tend to be a little bit more of a worrier and I tend to be a little bit more neurotic, but I also know the impact that can have on kids. And so really being able to kind of pull back and allowing my child to learn things for herself rather than shielding her and protecting her, I definitely wonder if I'm going to be able to do that. Plus, because I'm having a child later in life, very different to have a toddler when you're in your 20s versus when you're in your 40s. And so I wonder what that experience is going to be like, you know, physically and emotionally and psychologically. But at the same time, I don't know, I just have this very strong faith that it's going to be okay. Even when it's not okay, it's going to be okay. that I trust myself, I trust my husband, and I trust the journey that I've been on because I've had my own epiphanies, that whatever challenges parenthood brings me, I'm going to be able to face them. I'm going to be able to learn from them, even if they're uncomfortable, and I'm going to come out the other side a better person for it. I just have that faith.
I let me tell you, that is going to happen without a doubt. Okay, I guarantee it. And I want to give you, we don't have much time, but I want to give you a couple thoughts on what you just said. First of all, regarding the delivery itself, there's this amazing thing called an epidural. If you get it, okay, there's no reason you have to be in pain to give birth to your child. So don't be a martyr. And if you need that, just and stand by, make sure Jason's ready so it's not too late, because if you dial it, too late. If you're feeling uncomfortable, you're feeling pain, just get the darn painkiller. There's no shame in it. As far as the safety issues, at some point you have to just have faith. You do all the right things, and it is in God's hands. I mean, we're talking about God today. Some of it is in God's hands. And as far as being an older parent, you're going to bring so much more wisdom to the game. It's going to be, your child is blessed, so thoroughly blessed. We're out of time,
thank
Dr.
you.
Jennifer. Please quickly tell my listeners where they can find you.
I blog at theparentingplayground.com. And on Facebook, we have a page under the same name. And on Twitter, I am dr_Weberman. And I just launched my new website for my private practice. And the website is called transformationstherapycenter.com. And it's beautiful. You should check it out.
Send me the link and we'll have to
I
do something
will.
For it. All right.
Wonderful.
I'll see you tonight at Dad Hope. And
thank
stay
you.
Tuned for some closing remarks, everybody. In the ark, what did they do when everything looked so dark? You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.